That's right.
Volume up and get ready. Welcome to my podcast. Usual Friday.
Hey, what is up, everyone, and welcome to Talk About It Friday. I've got a special guest with me here tonight, and his name is Christopher Moss. The guy has got such a great story to tell, and I want to introduce him to you guys. So, hey, what's up, Chris?
You all right? How's it going? Good evening to everybody.
Yeah, not too bad. It's absolutely great. So, yeah, tell my audience about yourself.
Yeah, so you've already introduced me. My name's Christopher Moss. I'm an international best-selling author. My fifth book is due out on the 18th of March. And my story begins about 30 years ago when my brother passed away to cancer. And I blame myself for his death because it was me that brought the chickenpox virus, which actually killed him, into the house. And that sort of far to 4 years ago, a feeling of a failure, feeling that I deserved all the pain I've got. And then, say, 4 years ago, my life-defining moments, if I'm honest, I was attacked at work. I was a victim of an armed robbery. I'm a store manager, and then someone came in as I was opening the shop and demanded I open the safe. And my life was worth just £3,500, which is absolute pittance.
Yeah.
Sent me into crippling anxiety to the point where I wanted to end my life. Fast forward to 4 years, and say I managed to claw myself out of anxiety. I'm now helping thousands of people break free of anxiety, and the messages I get on a daily basis is heartwarming, to say that, you know, I'm making a difference to them. So yeah, my pain and suffering that I went through has been worth something for other people. So, you know, I have these values that I've got, which, and the third one is matter. Live, love, matter. And every single day that, you know, I get proof that I matter to others. So, you know, all this pain is worth it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, it's inspiring because that's the first time I've ever heard about, did you say it was your brother?
Yeah.
Yeah, my brother. That is the very first time you've ever told me that. And bro, I am so sorry to hear that. But, you know, as I say to a lot of people, is that some things can't be helped in life. It's like me going on a bus and getting a chest infection and fighting for my life, because that's it. That's exactly what I do. You know, I go through, you know, chest infections can be really fatal for me. You know, I remember last time I went in intensive care, and I was touching base with that. And I think, you know, as well, actually, because I was, you know, I was recovering from a last chest infection last Christmas, not the one that's gone, the last one before. That was when I was touching septus. But this is it. This is how easy I can pick up diseases, and it's at no one's fault. So as I'm saying to you now, is that don't beat yourself up over that, because sometimes things cannot be helped, you know?
Yeah, say the biggest thing for me, and I am coming to terms with what happened, but actually it was an act of mercy, because if he had survived what he had gone through, then his life would have been sort of quite horrific, if I'm honest. You know, abilities and stuff that he'd have to sort of endure. So it was almost like an act of kindness, bringing it in. But it took me actually after the armed robbery to come to terms with that. So it took me a good 30 years to sort of absolve myself from the blame of it and understand that, you know, these things do happen, and it's okay. But I had to go through a lot of pain on top of that to realise that it's, you know, I helped it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm surprised you've not got anything like is it PTSD?
I went through a lot of that. And back in the 80s, when my brother died, there wasn't anywhere you could go, you know, counselling, anything like that. You know, that was sort of, I think, the late 80s and early 90s that started in the UK. So there was nothing like that. I couldn't talk to somebody and express how I felt. You know, it was like having an emotional bomb blow up in our house.
Yeah.
And, you know, the effects of that lasted for decades. You know, coming home and coming home early and hearing my mum cry, holding her son's baby girl in her arms and wailing is a sound that I hear every single day, and it's awful. It's the worst sound you can ever sort of live through. And it was, you know, it's horrific, and, you know, it's what haunts me every single day, really, hearing that cry. The pain and stuff. You should never, ever have to bury, you know, your children, you know, wow. that you should be going before they do, and, you know, to have that. But it's made me who I am, you know, obviously I don't want to wallow too much in that, but it's made me the person I am now. And I'm thankful that I've had that pain, because it makes me far more open and understanding to what other people are going through as well.
Yeah, you know,
a lot of people find that when people die, they don't know what to say to them. And I know that you don't have to say anything to people. You know, people have lost loved ones. You don't have to sit there and try and cheer up and that. It's just a case of just being there and saying, it's all right, you know, I'm here for you. You know, even just doing the mundane things with them, that's more than enough. And people don't realise that. So, you know, I'm very thankful for that. And again, you know, going through that focuses on life. And I know it's a cheesy thing for people to say.
Yeah.
And people, you know, treat, you know, each moment matters, you know, and death is coming to us all, so we should appreciate every single moment that happens. And that's, for me, it's a constant reminder.
Exactly. The funny thing that you brought that up is that I'm going to be doing another podcast talk about mental health, and this guy, I'm not going to lie, I will be totally honest and open with you. A few nights ago, right, I woke up in the middle of the night and automatically I thought about death. I thought about when is my time, you know, this is my anxiety, because I suffer with real bad anxiety, and I'm not ashamed of it. And this is why I like these talks with, you know, with people like you. I like to bring mental health open. I like people to talk about it. I don't want anyone to be afraid about talking about it, because it comes to the point in life that there is so much going on in life that it's just going to, you know, bottle up in the back of your head, and you're just going to build up all this anxiety and stress. And it's just great to talk about it.
It is. I think that sometimes that's half the battle, especially with us blokes, you know, my age group, we bottle it up. We're supposed to be strong. And, you know, we think that showing a weakness and crying, you know, is a massive weakness. It's not, it's a massive strength. And hopefully that the more that this taboo subject is aired in public, the better it is for all of us, really. You know, I find so many men do struggle, and they just don't understand what they're going through, and they, when they do, they don't sort of like talk about it. And
exactly,
that's one of the most important things.
There's a little story. Sorry to bring it up, but I said this in my last podcast about my neighbour. Down to earth guy, absolutely brilliant. You would look at him as if he would have no problems. To find out, one morning I was sipping my cup of tea my cup of coffee, looking out the window, and I just saw him being carted out in a body bag. And it was suicide. You know, I personally, he was so cheerful. Every day he would say hello to me, but it's just weird, isn't it? It is a disease. It's like carbon dioxide. It's like that. You know, you don't know when, you can't see it. You know, this is the thing, you know.
It's an epidemic.
Yeah.
And they say, what you don't see is what's happening on the inside of people. You know, people can be, they can put it's something I put in my first book, is that your best fake smile, and, you know, put this imitation of themselves that they're really happy and that, and they're not, they're extremely depressed and, you know, anxiety ridden. And say, I think it's horrific that, you know, the epidemic, especially in this country, in the US as well, I think it's 40 million people that have got depression or anxiety in the US.
Wow.
And that's quite a massive thing, and all these antidepressants and stuff are not helping either. But I just feel that it's getting quite bad. And I know somebody that's recently committed suicide, and, you know, the fact that they've you know, that they're lovely people, and, you know, just how they perceive the world and what their mind, and how anxiety and depression sort of takes hold of you and takes control of your life.
I definitely understand that. Moving on, you know, it's quite a really deep subject, but moving on from that, I mean, you know, tell us a bit about your books.
Okay. I've got four books out at the moment. The fifth one is due out the 18th of March. Cool. They're all about anxiety. And if I'm honest, I've tried to do one, each one's different. So the first one's called Hope Over Anxiety, which I'm really proud of, because it's my first book, and it was a labour of love and a real quite hard effort to get it out, because I had to go through all the anxiety just to get it, which is ironic in itself. But as I say, been phenomenal. That was an international bestseller actually in three countries, US, UK and Australia. And that's downloaded over thousands of copies of that have been downloaded, and it made a massive difference. And that's basically going through crippling anxiety. And it's a bit of an introduction to me, but I've done it a little bit differently to other books. There's a lot of anxiety books out there, but that are written by psychologists, written by doctors, therapists, etc., etc. And they try to teach it to people well above your pay grade. So yeah. They talk about the amygdala, they talked about the neocortex, and they talk about all this sort of stuff. And a lot of anxiety sufferers don't want to know about that. And also that makes them overwhelmed because yeah. they've got to understand. So end up, they don't read it and implement what's been put in there. So I've made it very, very frank, very, very simple, very, very open, and just explained exactly how I've got out of it. And there's loads of other things I put in there as well. So it's a case of you can pick and choose what sort of section to read. So that's my first book. My second book, I wanted to go a little more simpler. So I've put a lot more structure into it. There's a lot of poems in the first one. There's a few more in the second one, but not so much. But the other one, the next one is four easy ways to break fear and love the person you are. Yeah. And to say, within sort of 30 days of reading that book, you should see quite a lot of progress. Again, it's a smaller book. Again, simple and easy to use. The first book, I've had sort of over 40 plus reviews. And obviously, quite a lot of them. I think around about 14 reviews have been removed by Amazon now, but it's still over 40 worldwide reviews on the first book. The second book, as I say, has done really well, international bestseller. And the third book is called Power Over Anxiety. And I've done it a little bit differently because, as I say, I don't want to repeat myself in all the books and just be the same book, basically.
Yeah.
But book three about how you can use foods and how you can manage your sleep. And there's sort of a few things that I'm doing as well that I'm sort of affiliate of. Life Vantage, where there's sort of this pill that I'm taking that sort of makes me focused and helps me quite a lot. And it's also been, as I say, there's loads of, clinical trials been done on it. So there's a bit about that as well. But most of it is around sleep. There's a 7-day action plan at the back.
Okay.
Where, people can pick and choose what they need. So that helps them go through it. It helps them with their beliefs. It helps them with how they're feeling at the moment. And as I say, book three. So book four is a simple one. It's even simpler than book two. And it's about 40 pages long.
All right.
It's called, and it's just basically the biggest thing for anxiety sufferers is confidence in themselves. And that's something that I've only learned over the last year. You know, the reason why people struggle and they can't break free of it is because they don't believe in themselves enough.
That's
and they,
true.
You know, I've got the faith in themselves. So that's a big thing for me. So I've gone through that. Four simple steps in there to help you break free and give you sort of like the self-confidence that you have. And it's all about perceptions, really.
Yeah.
People don't realise what's going on in the brain.
Yeah.
And if you realise that and you start to notice your own thoughts, which is the big thing I sort of recommend people do, is watch what your mind tells you, because that's what triggers your anxiety in the first place. And then book four is a workbook for hope over anxiety, the first one. I've made it a bit, I've cut it back a little bit, and I've sort of like jazzed it up as well and added a few bits into it. Because again, I don't want people to sort of like buy the same book each time.
Yeah, but that's it.
Yeah, for me, it's very simple and easy, and I want to help other people, and I've made it as simple and easy as possible so that people can achieve it and not have massive, big, actionable goals that are not achievable and find difficult. I only ask people for 1% each day. That's all you need, 1% improvement each day.
Wow, that is incredible. You're a man on a mission. I like that.
Thank you.
That's incredible. Yeah. I like the idea of you saying that you put like questionnaires in the back of your book, because that is absolutely incredible. Is this something that you, when they do these questionnaires, is it something that you would look back on? Is it something that they would give to you to say, okay, look at this questionnaire?
I've just done it for myself. I've intuitively done it, so that made it a bit more easy for people to understand and see the progress through the book. And obviously the 7-day action plan. So I've kind of sort of like used it. I've read a few other books, nothing about anxiety, and I've just sort of thought I'd implement it and make it a bit easier for people, because having a structure today, which is the most important thing for an anxiety sufferer, about somebody that works out, you know, every single day they have to sort of like work out and eat the right food so that they're, you know, they've got the right muscles and they look really strong. It's the same with somebody with mental health. If you're struggling, then you need to make sure that you're looking after your brain. So you've got to make sure you have a structure to your day. So, you know, my recommendation to people is to start first thing in the morning to meditate or to get calm. There's several other apps and that you can use. You're more than welcome to sort of message me if you want any further information on that one. Halfway through the day, it's like a reset button, I call it, and where you just go and sort of find 5-10 minutes during your dinner hour to meditate or to get calm. And then last thing at night, to write your journal and sort of write 3 things that you really appreciate today and really feel them. You know, that's something that I think is key.
That's incredible. Feel,
just, and reflect and go, right, okay, this is what I've been struggling with. This is what's gone really, really well today. I'm really proud of it. And just to feel, you know, go through it back through your head, you know, and have that. It's a rewiring your brain. And then you meditate before you go to sleep. And you'll find within weeks that your anxiety will drop. And it's been scientifically proven over 50% with it, meditation. But to say, you also find that anxiety will kick back at you. So yeah. That's a couple of weeks later, you need to make sure that you're sort of ready and armed.
I was going to say, because I listen to this certain app as well. It's called Excel at Life. I don't know whether you're aware of that one.
No, I've not heard that one.
Yeah. Well, basically, she talked me through an anxiety attack, and she would say, like, she would go through the deep breathing with you and all that. And then she would say to you, it's okay if you, you know, you need to notice, you know, the tension. You need to be aware of it. You need to feel the tension and anxiety. And it's like, wow, I'm going in a bit deep here. But it is absolutely brilliant when you get over that. And then, you know, I can start to, you know, breathe again. It's absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, it's just about noting the physical symptoms.
Yeah.
And resisting is a big thing as well. We resist it because obviously it's very shameful and it's embarrassing. And also it's very, very painful. The amount of people that I've spoken to that have anxiety attacks, they feel that actually they're dying. And that some people actually go to hospital because it feels that bad, like they're having a heart attack.
Yeah.
You know, that's how serious. People don't really understand how painful having a panic attack is in terms of the emotional side of it and actually the physical feelings through it as well.
Exactly.
So, you know, I would wish that on your worst enemy. So
exactly.
Hopefully you can understand a little bit more about it.
Yeah, because about a week or two, I had a chest infection then as well. And I literally, I'm not being funny, but I called the paramedic 4 times because I thought I was fighting for breath. Came out and they said, your stats is fine, your heart's fine. It's your anxiety with this upper chest infection as well. So combining both together, you feel like you're dying. So that was, you know, really hard thing. And I hate anxiety. It's horrible.
It's a liar.
Yeah.
And you realize that the more you notice, you know, and you build yourself confidence and you notice it's a liar and it will do everything. But it's just your brain trying to protect you.
Yeah,
and that's, you know, what it is, and it takes old experiences. There's so much you can do, and as I say, I've moved forward quite considerably the last 3 years, but I have maximum respect for anybody that's suffering with anxiety, and they don't realise how strong they are.
Yeah, that's it, isn't it? Yeah. So what other things are you doing, you know, other than the anxiety thing? So I noticed on Facebook you was doing something to help other authors.
Yeah, well, what I'm doing is a few things. So the main thing I'm doing at the moment is I'm writing my next book, and I'm also helping a few people with getting their books launched.
Yeah.
So one of the biggest things for an author is anxiety, surprisingly enough, and feeling that they're not good enough. You know, this sort of like, what's the word? I can't think of the word now, but it's basically they think they're a bit of a fraud and nobody sort of like, you know, was going to buy their stuff.
Yeah.
And they struggles people to actually get that book out. So for me, I'm trying to help people, guide them through all the roadblocks that your mind will come up with, because writing a book is one of the hardest things you'll ever do in your life. And
there's
a stat from Times that says that 81% of Americans want to write a book, only 1% actually achieve it.
Wow.
So that tells the same story. So helping people through that anxiety and getting them to the point where they can get that book launched and become a bestseller as well. And there's so many things you can learn from writing a book to start off with as well. And it's that confidence. What people don't realize, when you start writing one book, you write another, and you get through that anxiety and you manage to do it, the self-confidence and belief that you have. I always say that writing a book is like dealing in dreams.
Yes.
Not only the dreams of the person that's reading it, but also unlocks dreams in your mind that actually, wow, I've done this. What more can I do? You know, the story that you have in your head that I'm not good enough and I can't do things. Well, 2,000 people have bought my book. 40-odd people have done reviews and said how amazing my book is. I get messages every single day saying how great my book is. This is, you know, what people have experienced. Okay, actually, I'm not who I think I am.
Exactly. What more?
And I've just, for me, that's what I like to do. And again, I'm working really hard with other people with marketing and stuff as well. And it's another big thing with writing a book. You know, the marketing side of actually getting it launched.
Oh, I know. I know that feeling. Yeah, too well. It's, you know, it's absolutely amazing as well, because I know that feeling. So when I wrote my first book, it was absolutely terrible. You know, I didn't have a clue what I was doing with it. But, you know, as I was reading more books and I was writing more books, I was getting that feel, and, you know, I'm getting better. I'm not great, but, you know, you learn.
Yeah. They think, you know, oh my God, you know, what happens if it's not very good? Well, you go back and fix it. Exactly. You know, it's not like set in stone. That's it. There's your book. You can't do anything about it. You can go back on Amazon or whatever sort of like device you're using and get it changed within 72 hours at the most. You get that change. You can change your paperback if you want.
Yeah.
You know, there isn't any real issue. And I made a massive mistake with my first book. I launched it. It wasn't edited well enough. Now, that's not the editor's fault. That's down to me, because I said, no, I'll do it anyway, because you said, like, I'm going to be a bit longer being able to do this. So, yeah. You know, give me 5 weeks. And I thought, no, I've got to push this out now. So that was on me. So I don't want to criticize the editor. That was my mistake. But that meant that I couldn't push the book over the 30 days that when it did come out.
Yeah, so, that's why I took mine down. I've still got to edit.
Honestly, with editing, you can be there for years editing it. I spent hundreds of hours on my first book editing it, and I still go through it and go, this isn't good enough.
That's it.
You've got that fear as well. Come in. So, yeah, I'm here to help 500,000 people. That's my sort of dream. I want to help 500,000 people break free of anxiety and see a life beyond what they ever believed possible. That's my whole aim. And now that I've got this clear goal of what I want to do with my life, it becomes far more not about me and about other people. And I have to upgrade myself every single day so that I'm a better version of myself, so that I can help others. And, you know, say, and I get such a kick out of the fact that so many people have progressed their life and read my book and made a difference to them. You know, that's what I'm here for.
Yeah, that's amazing, man. So what advice would you give to those that, you know, suffer with anxiety?
Firstly, look at yourself and say, do you know what? I've done an amazing job. I am a warrior. Most people would struggle if they had to deal with what you have to deal with every single day. It's like being tag teamed.
Yeah.
It's like having anxiety and depression fired at you at once. So not only is one part of your brain, you're the feeling of feeling awful, and then obviously you're feeling the other side of your brain actually telling you all the things you've done wrong. So you're getting tag teamed on a daily basis with anxiety. Yeah. I said, hang in there. But the thing that I would say the most is start making intention of moving forward.
Yes.
And there's a line in the sand now. I'm not going back. I'm going forward every single day and no longer accepting that old standard. And it isn't a case of making huge, ginormous leaps every single day. It's about 1%. Just moving forward. Give yourself some little goals. If it means a case of sort of like, you know, something you fear the most, like I can't leave the house. Okay, well, I'll leave the house for a minute today. And that might take all of your energy to do it. That's fine. Then celebrate that success. Something you really appreciate. I used to buy chocolate.
Yeah.
And then tomorrow I'll go 2 minutes outside and then 3 minutes, et cetera, et cetera, and just move forward. Start meditating, or as I said earlier, there are other apps and other things you can do to get calm. That's a key thing. And you'll start to notice what your mind says. And that's a key thing, really, starting to watch what the mind is telling you, what anxiety is telling you on a daily basis, and then start getting a journal and writing stuff down, because you'll find that your sleep will improve considerably as well. And if you do write stuff down, it will actually clear out your mind, because you have this rehearsal loop that goes around and round and round in your head on a constant basis. But if you write it down, it will clear it out.
Wow. So that's incredible. Wow. Honestly, it's been a great, you know, time interviewing you, man. You've had a lot to say. You've given value to everyone, and I'm sure you do this all the time. You give value.
I, Yeah, that's what I'm here for. I'll try to keep as much as I possibly can.
Absolutely. Anyway, I really appreciate you coming onto the show, and I'll touch base with you after the show as well to grab some links off of you. Don't forget, everyone, that you can check Christopher Moss out. In the description, there'll be some links as well. Honestly, go check him out. The guy obviously knows his stuff. You've heard him yourself. It's been a great pleasure, man. I really appreciate that.
Thank you. Okay. Thanks, Wayne.
That's all right. Take care, my friend.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
That's right.